Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I am your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. Good morning again and welcome. For years, my guest Jen Mosier imagined herself as a writer, but never quite developed the confidence to call herself one. That is, until she could no longer contain the words held in her heart and mind. She had to let those words escape. Jen has spent the last year finding her writing voice. She's been amazed at what God has shown her. The message she wishes to share is about living through hurts and disappointments. Good morning, Jen. Welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning, Patty.
It's such a joy to have you here today, Jen.
Thank you for having me, Patty. I'm excited to be here today.
Well, I'm excited to have you here, too. You and I have never met in person, but we have met on Zoom through Marlene Bagnell's critique groups, and I've come to know many, many, many writers through Marlene, so it's a joy to meet you, Jen. So would you share with us this morning, what childhood experiences influenced your desire to be a writer? Did you have that little excitement in your heart when a teacher assigned you to an essay, or did this passion develop later on in your life?
Funny story, Patty. I did not like creative writing when I was in school. I had a big imagination. I was a dreamer. When I was younger, I played a lot by myself, and I just created these amazing worlds that I just really wanted to be in. But to write them down on paper, I struggled with creative writing in high school. It was in college. They were my worst marks, if you can believe that. I really didn't like it. It wasn't until I was in my 30s that I started this imagination, started writing it down on paper.
That is interesting, Jen. But I'm not surprised, because there's a lot of other people who have been here on the show that say that very thing, that when they were young, that they had absolutely no interest in writing. And then later, something happened that just triggered that desire in them.
Yes.
Well, you spent much of your childhood believing the I'm not enough lie, not smart enough, not thin enough, not pretty enough, just not enough. What circumstances led you to believe those things about yourself?
I'm the youngest of three children. My older sister was very smart in school, very smart academically. She didn't have to apply herself very hard. She was always thin, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl of the family. My brother, on the other hand, while not academically excelling, he was really good in sports. He was funny. And then there was me bringing up the rear end, who really didn't have any marketable skills at that time. I wasn't overly smart. I just kind of coasted through school. I was not athletically inclined at all. Not overly pretty. I was never thin. I've always struggled with a thick waistline. And I just didn't have anything that really jumped out at anybody. So I just really didn't feel like I had that niche that was all my own. Added to that, I didn't have a great relationship with my dad growing up. To say that he probably didn't care for me too much is probably the way I would put it right now. We do have a good relationship now, so no worries there. But I just felt like I just wasn't enough. I didn't add up in the human world, and I kind of relayed that to God and how he looked at me too. Again, I wasn't the smart one. I wasn't philosophical. So I wasn't enough.
I can understand that, Jen, because I grew up probably quite a few years before you did. I grew up in the 50s and 60s. And back then, the big thing was if you were not a part of the what they called the in crowd, you were square. And my sister and I joke about how, yeah, we were the squarest squares in the whole school probably. So I can understand that feeling of of just not feeling like you fit in, like you didn't really excel at much of anything, and you were just kind of there. So
Yes. You
say you think maybe God perceived you the same way. What were your thoughts about God at that point in your life? Did you even have a faith base, or what was going on there?
My mom started taking us to church when I was 5. We moved from a city lifestyle to the country, and we started going to a little country church in our local area. Yeah, and I just kind of looked at it as I wasn't enough for others here. I wasn't enough for God. I wasn't great at memorizing scriptures. Again, our youth pastor was super sports-oriented, and he kind of geared himself towards those athletically inclined, you know, kids in our youth group. So it kind of left me out of that loop. And I wasn't popular, I guess. You know, I didn't carry that air. I was very shy. So I didn't put myself out there to be recognized. My perception of myself, and I place that on God, this must be his perception of me. Verse Jeremiah 29:11, for my plans for you are good, give you a hope and a future. That didn't apply to me. And that was my mindset, that was for someone else. That wasn't for me.
Yes. And I think a lot of us feel that way. It takes some time to realize how precious we are as individuals to God, I believe. So what was the turning point that brought you out of this dark time that you were experiencing, where you just kind of weren't all that you wanted to be and all that you thought other people wanted you to be?
Well, having that low self-opinion of myself and my identity in God led me to make some very poor choices as an older teen and young adult. I settled for friendships because I wasn't worthy of better in my own mind. I settled for relationships with boys and men, but again, because I didn't feel like I was worthy of anything better. And when I was 23, I found that I was pregnant, and I knew the person that I was with was not going to be there for the long haul. I knew that in the back of my head going into and hanging out with this person and spending time with this person. I knew this, but again, I just placed that this is all that I'm worth. This is all I was good enough for. So by the time I had my child, a little girl, I was single. And I knew from growing up and what my mom took us to church and exposed us to, that I wanted that for my daughter. I wanted a better life for her than the one that I had allowed for myself. And so I started going back to church when she was a little over a year old. And my perception was she deserved a better life. It was never that I deserved. It was that she deserved. I needed to make sure that she had a better life than the one that I had, and that meant a relationship with God and valuing herself. So that was my starting turning point. It didn't quite hit me hard until she was about 4 or 5 years old at a church service. I don't know if many churches do Sunday night services anymore, but then, like 22 years ago, I'm aging myself. We went to the altar for prayer on a Sunday night, and the God's presence was there so strong. I remember the pastor's wife put her hand on my shoulder to pray with me, and I just broke. All those years of just feeling less than, not worthy, just what I had settled for had just hit me so hard, and I could feel that God loved me. God truly does love me, you know, and I wanted that. I wanted that relationship with him. I wanted that. I saw that other people had, and that joy and that acceptance that they walked around with. I wanted that freedom. And it was that time that I'm like, okay, God, this is for me too. Not just my daughter. This is for me too. And I'm going to grab onto this, and I'm going to hold on to this, because it's a love that I never felt growing up, and it was a freedom that I so desperately needed. I can't tell you the date, but I remember it was a Sunday night, and I remember just the weight of my unworthiness just falling on that pew that day when I was kneeling at it. And I just have never been the same since.
It sounds like a very intense change for you, Jennifer, and thank God that he touched your heart that way and brought you to the realization of how special and how precious you are to him. Well, you have a passion to share the message that God is always good. However, like many other Christians, there are times when that faith is tested. Can you talk about a time in your life when after you experienced this change and you felt so close to God and you felt so loved by him, still, was there a time that you lost your faith and maybe not lost it entirely, but you had doubts? You had doubts.
Yeah. Yes, yes. After this experience with God and this encounter, I had prayed for a husband, a godly husband. I wanted a father for my daughter. I wanted more children. You know, I was still young yet. And 9 years later, I married a wonderful man who had 3 children. So we were a blended family. And I met him through church. My friends used to pick on me because I was single so long that, you know, I expected God to drop a man in the pew next to me. And I laugh now. I said, no, he was in the pew behind me. So, of course, we had 4 children. We had originally planned that we weren't going to have any more. We had enough on our plate with 4. And, of course, you know, a year later, I'm like, oh, no, I want one of our own. I want another baby. So we had a little girl in 2013 who has just been amazing. She is an amazing child of God. That's a whole nother story. But shortly after we had her, we were pregnant again and lost the child through miscarriage. And I remember a friend of mine years ago had lost a child, and I walked beside her through that. And I remember asking God at that time, Lord, I'd never want to know what she feels like because this is horrible. And I remember that statement when I was going through my own miscarriage and just how awful I felt. And it was just horrific. And I didn't miss a beat. I was under the pressure. I pressured myself that I still had other children at home. I still had a job. And I just pushed through. I had to push through. I did that for about 6 or 7 months, just pushing through it and just, you know, blinders on, going through it. And I came to a point where I couldn't push through anymore. I couldn't push through this pain anymore. I told my husband, I said, I feel like I'm losing my mind. I was mad at God. And through uncovering, you know, layer upon layer, I was so mad at him because I went back to my childhood thoughts was, I'm not worthy. I was not worthy of God's protection from going through this. And I questioned my faith at that time. You know, I did all of this stuff. I committed my life back to, I take my children to church. I married a godly man. I serve you. I praise you. I, you know, witness about you and why. Why did this have to happen? Why did you take this child from me? It was a wrestling match that I had with God during this time. And unfortunately for my family on the outside, I was just miserable. I was angry. I was hurt. And I was short with them, and I just was not in a really good spot. So I took it out, of course, on the ones closest to me, which I have had to apologize numerous times for that. I remember coming to a point when I was angry at God and just this broken person, like, why? Why did you let this happen? Why did I go through this? Spoke to my heart, and it's like, would any why be good enough? Would any why be good enough for me? And it's like, no why, you know, no answer to that question would ever be okay with me here. And I had to come to a point in my faith, was I going to trust that God had good for me, or was I going to walk away? You know, and that's where I found myself. I had to make the choice. Did I completely trust God 100%, or was I going to walk away from my faith? And I knew that's not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to walk away from my faith. I didn't want to walk away from my family. God is still good. And I had to come to that point. You know, God, I don't understand. I don't understand the why. This side of heaven, I probably never will understand the why. And that's okay. I have to be okay with that. But I'm going to trust that God is still a good God. He loves me. And I am worthy of his love. And it's not because of me, not because of how good of a wife or a mother I am, or a child of God, or, you know, church attender. It's because of God that I'm worthy. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that makes me worthy to be a child of God, and that I have to find my worth in that and not in the works that I do for him.
You really went through a very deep struggle there, Jen, and thank you so much for sharing that here today with me and with our listeners. That I'm sure there's other people that your story will resonate with in a very real way, because there's other people out there who have suffered that same pain and that same doubt and have wrestled as you have. So thank you so much for really taking us deep into your heart and sharing with us what you experienced.
Yes, I just hope that, you know, and I just, that's why I told God through all of this, if one person finds God through all of this, if one person learns to trust in God again, then yes, God is so good.
And we've talked about this before on the show. In fact, listeners, regular listeners will probably be tired of hearing me say it, but it's true. When we go through an extremely difficult time, whether it's loss of a child, a miscarriage, a divorce, whatever it is, and you try and tell someone that someday your experience is going to help somebody else, you sure don't want to hear that at the time you're going through it. But when you look back years later and see how perhaps you can touch someone else's life and show them how you got through your trial, I'm not sure that it ever really makes sense, but it just adds something to it to know that you are able to touch someone else with what you have experienced. We'll take a break here, where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with host Patty Sheen. My guest today is author and speaker Jen Mosier. If you would like to listen to this episode again or hopefully refer it to friends and family, it is on archive. The most current 5 episodes can be found on the homepage at pattysheen.com. That is spelled PattySheen.com. The Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page will give you access to archived episodes. Under each episode is a more information tab that provides links to guest website, social media, and other resource information. Let's return to our interview with Jen. Well, not only have you experienced the heartbreak of the loss of a child through miscarriage, Jen, but you have also dealt with excruciating pain because of migraines for quite some time. And I don't have migraines, and thank God I have never had really excruciating pain. I've had some pain that I thought was that, but compared to other people, probably not. But how do you reconcile this kind of suffering with God's goodness?
Yes, that's been tough. I'm not going to lie. 29 years of migraine headaches, and they have varied in their severity and length. I do remember a time that after I got married, it was like a year or two after my husband and I were married, that they kind of revamped right back up, and I would be in bed for 2 to 3 days at a time, completely incapacitated, unable to do anything, and just crying out to God in just sheer agony, asking, you know, please take this from me. I remember at one point I just asked him, just take me, please, just take me now, because I can't go through this anymore. And just the physical effects on my body with vision and being sick and missed work, missed sporting events with our kids, and or sitting through them, and just, you know, medicated enough to make me sit up, you know, to make me functional.
Sure.
And I can look back on different events and anniversaries and dinners that I have gone to, and I know that I had sat there completely medicated in the stupor, because I couldn't see past where I was at that time. I came to the point, Patty, in the last couple of years where I'm just like, this is for something. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to trust God through this pain. And I'm praying for his healing, and I thanked him for his healing. And I just, it's here. I'm going to be healed. I am healed. And, you know, being prayed for, and the last 3 years of my migraine suffering, I was put on injections, which were absolutely horrific, and the medication that I took just made me feel very painful for the rest of my body. And I'm happy to say, though, Patty, 6 months ago, we had a special guest at our church, and her gift was healing, Marilyn Neubauer. And she prayed for me, and she said, "What do you need?" I said, I can't do this anymore. I just can't. I'm at the point, I need to be healed." And she prayed for me, and I have not had a migraine headache in 6 months.
Oh, praise God, Jen.
Oh, it has been amazing. Yes, the life change. And I just thank God every day that I have not been in any pain. And I tell that people, when I feel the least bit of pressure, I say, no, I don't have time for this. I'm healed. I accept God's healing today. And it's amazing. And for those people who are suffering with chronic illnesses, and that's one thing I learned through all of this, is anyone with a chronic illness, I completely sympathize and I understand just the pain it is just to get up and function and to maybe even just have a conversation with your husband or kids or your wife or anything. And I sympathize with you so much that it is excruciating. And sometimes we have a tendency, there were days I would lost hope. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't completely, hey, God, we're going to get through this. Every time, and there are times I lost hope, and I struggled, and I just was in the, dark places at times, asking God just to take me, and you come to that point, and anyone who has a chronic illness, and they're in chronic pain, my heart goes out to you, and I just pray that God would reach down and touch you, give you strength, just to be able to get through, strength for today, strength for today. And that was a prayer a lot of my times. It's just give me strength for today. I can get through this.
Wow. I have friends who have had migraine headaches, and I just cannot imagine. I've had sciatica. That's probably the most painful thing I've ever had. I ended up going to the hospital in an ambulance. I was in so much pain with that, but migraines, from what I understand, as you stated, they affect your whole body. I mean, I think people actually, they can't see right. Their stomach is upset. And, oh, my goodness, it just must be horrific. And as you said, once you take that medication, it almost incapacitates you to where you're just, you may be functioning, but you're functioning like a zombie.
Yes, absolutely.
So my heart goes out to you, Jen, and praise God that you are healed, and your story is certainly an encouragement to other people who have experienced chronic pain. Well, Jen, we started out by saying that your aspiration is to be a writer, so let's talk about that. First of all, you say you have spent the last several months finding your writing voice. What steps have you taken to accomplish that?
It's kind of a funny story. Ironic story, I guess. About 5 years ago, I quit my full-time job to homeschool our youngest daughter. And it's been through her, essays and me teaching her English and things. I've kind of like, okay, I'm working with her on storytelling, and it's kind of awakening that imagination and dreamer that I once had. So I started writing things down again. And I remember, school and Facebook, I saw a post by Jennifer Dukes Lee. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her. And she was saying about growing with God slowly growing with God and, not to get frustrated. And I kind of reached out to her, and she introduced me to Compel, which is a writing course through Lisa Turkhurst, which I then I learned of the ACFW, American Christian Fiction Writers Club, because I like to write fiction. So I got hooked up with them and was taking some courses there and just learning how to step into this humongous writing world, which can be completely overwhelming if you just walk into it blindly. It's like, oh my, what am I doing?
Absolutely. Oh my goodness, it sure can. Yeah.
Yes, and through that I found, I was trying to find critique groups in my area, which I'm in a rural part of northeastern PA, so it's a little limited. But that's where I found Marlene, was through the American Christian Fiction Writers group, as she has an online Zoom meeting critique group, and that's how I met you. So it was just a series of events, and I attended Marlene's virtual conference this year. This August was my first writer's conference, which was so much information, and the encouragement that I've gotten from other writers to keep going, and the critiques and the education, and it has just been amazing. It has been so amazing. Stepped out of my comfort zone this past November and spoke at a women's conference. I felt God has been leading me to this speaking ministry, which I really didn't want to do. I like to be behind the scenes, and a friend of mine at church has this women's conference in our area, and I asked her about it. I said, I kind of feel God's leading me that direction. Could you tell me anything about it? And my goal was to just get information. Well, she signed me up to be a speaker. I'm like, oh, that's really funny.
Oh, that is neat, though, Jen. Oh, my goodness. I love it. God does have a way of helping us step out of our comfort zone, and it is quite amazing. And I'm so glad that you are a member of ACFW, because they have so many resources to offer. Those online classes, critique groups, Facebook groups that are specific to your genre, and just so many different opportunities. And there's a whole lot to be said for ACFW and for Marlene. So you're connected with two very strong writing groups there that will certainly help you along the way, Jen.
Yeah.
Well, your novel is a work in progress, I know, but we'd love to hear about it just a little bit. What genre do you write? What kind of message do you wish to share?
I write Christian women's contemporary books. It's fiction. The book that I'm currently working on is kind of my life in a fictional standpoint. It's about a woman who just believes, she goes to church, but she believes some lies about herself. And when her faith is tested, she kind of falls apart. And she has to learn to rebuild herself on God and not her own self. And it's just learning how to deal with your hurts through God.
Very good. Well, I wondered if maybe you would be writing contemporary women's fiction because of the experiences you have had in your life. So that doesn't surprise me, and I wish you the very best. How far along are you with it, Jen?
I have actually completely written. I'm in the editing and rewriting phase. So I was kind of hoping to have that done by February, but got a little delayed. So hopefully by the end of March that will be done, and I'm looking to try to start submitting them to different publishers and see what happens.
Well, that sounds wonderful, and it does sound like you want to go with the traditional publishing route then.
Actually, I'm not
which
sure.
Is
I'm
great.
Kind of open to both.
Well, and that's something for you to explore. You know, you'll get advice on both sides of it. I always said that I would never, ever self-publish. I always said that I would never, ever write a Christmas story, and in November 22, I self-published a Christmas story. So there you go again with what God has in mind compared to what we have in mind. So just go with it and do the research, and you'll find out what is best for you, I believe.
Yeah, that's one word I've learned to stop saying, and that's the never word.
I put it. Oh, that's what I was going to talk to you about. In fact, we were talking about how things that you have done to reach your writing goal. You started a blog. Tell us a little bit about that, because I read a few of your posts and I thought they were very good.
Oh, thank you, Patty. Yes, I started a blog a couple of years ago. It's jenniferlmosier.com, and I just write some different things, basically thoughts that God has placed on my heart. They're there. I send out a bi-weekly newsletter if you're signed up to receive it. And again, it's just inspiration that God has laid on my heart for that time period, you know, that two-week time period. And just finding our hope and our purpose in God and the person that He's created us to be and being okay with that. I think a lot of times we're really hard on ourselves. You know, I wish I sang better. I wish I wrote better. I wish I could sew, or I can't play the piano, or I can't cook.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. But who has God made you to be? And just fully embracing that person. And it's okay that you maybe can't cook, or maybe your pants are a little bit tighter than what they used to be. That's okay.
That's very true. Yes, I enjoyed the post that I that I read on your blog. And yes, I guess I got signed up. I don't know what I did, but I got three different messages that I was signed up. So I guess I'm pretty well signed up for your posts. And I'm excited to read the new ones that you'll have coming out, Jen. What is your favorite, in writing your novel, what is your favorite thing about writing it? Do you like doing characterization more? Do you like doing plot more? Do you like editing more than you do the writing? What's your sweet spot?
Oh, my sweet spot is character development. Even in talking with people, I love to find out why they think the way they think, what makes them do the things they do. So developing my characters and giving them a backstory of, okay, this is why they're doing what they're doing. This is why they're saying or feeling what they're feeling and saying. So I love that character development.
Well, I know I like to develop my characters, but I think one of my favorite things is just constructing the sentences in such a way in fact, I'm in a very good critique group with ACFW, as a matter of fact, and I write entirely different from you. I write historical Western, so we're a little bit different from each other in our genres. But I like to, sometimes my critique partners will write back and say, know what you wanted to say here, but it's a little bit too much. This cowboy would never talk this way. It's like, oh yeah. And I think sometimes I'm always looking for words that are a little bit out of the ordinary, but you can mm-hmm. go too far that other way too, to where it's like, just say what in the world it is you want to say and quit being so flowery here, you know. The plot of the story that I've been working on for way too long now, I just can't wait to get it out there because I just love the story and so do my critique partners. So we'll see what happens with it.
Awesome. That's fantastic.
Tell us a little bit. On your website, you mentioned that you have a speaking ministry. Are you looking for people to reach out to you and ask you to speak at their particular venues, or have you not quite reached that point yet?
I guess that word is I'm open. That's something God has laid on my heart to start speaking. I did speak at a women's conference in November, and I'm going to be speaking at another women's conference in Williamsport, Pennsylvania in May. So, yes, I am open to speaking at conferences or small women's groups. As God opens the doors, I'm just stepping through. So.
Well, that's the way we have to do it, too. And also, I wanted to mention, and I saw on your somewhere, that you do have a children's book out there. It's been a while, but tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, I wrote this before I was married. So it was 2009, and that was like a partial traditional publishing company. Is no longer in existence right now, so it's out of print. But I do have a supply on hand. It's called Zach Learns to Love His Neighbor. It's a cute little children's book. Yeah, it's a cat and mouse kind of story. It's just learning to get along well with others and not perceive that they are someone they're not just by their looks. It's a mouse who's mad at a cat and is afraid of it and doesn't want to be his friend because he's a cat. But
of course,
he learns. Zach learns to love his neighbor, Timothy the cat. So, yes, I do have some of those on hand.
Oh, I probably love it because I have a cat and I just love my cat. So,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I probably enjoy that story. Well, Jen, is there anything else you can think of that we didn't talk about today that you would like to share with listeners?
I just really would like the listeners to know how valued they are by God, how worthy they are of his love. And then it's not anything that we do, but again, it's through the blood of Jesus that makes us worthy. And not to be afraid to walk out your calling, no matter what that calling is. And if it's just to serve your family every day by making them dinner and washing their clothes, that is an amazing calling. And not to take it lightly, and that just to embrace who God has called you to be and not think less of yourself than what he does. And that would be my encouragement to everyone today.
Yes, well, thank you so much for sharing everything that you shared with us today, Jen. And what you said kind of brings to mind what I read in my little devotional this morning about just embracing the moment, the joys of life, and not to be so worried about what you haven't done, but just be grateful for the moments that we experience in our life, whether it be with friends, with family, with God, whatever, to just embrace those times and be grateful for them. So and embrace who we are in Christ. And yeah. So well, thank you so much for sharing so much that you did with us today, Jen. I know that you shared a lot of the pain that you have experienced in your life, and I know that by sharing that, you have reached out to others, and there are hearts that you will touch with your message. So may God continue to bless you with your writing endeavors, and I'm looking forward to seeing that book coming out in print, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Patty. It's been great.
Listeners, in closing, thank you so much for listening today. If you would like to listen to this show again, it is on archive. Go to my website, which is pattysheene.com. That's spelled PattySheene.com. The most current 5 episodes are found right on the home page. You'll find the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page. Click on that. It will give you a link to all the shows we have aired to date. Under each show is a more information tab. Click on that, and you will find more information about our guests, such as website and social media contacts. I can also be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Pinterest as Patty Sheene. Until next time, God bless you.